Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Pay no attention to the screeching radio host in the background. I couldn't help it. Kurt Warner knew my name. Oh, that was one of the highlights of football season for us, is having Kurt Warner on the show for the first time. And we're hoping to connect with him again during Super Bowl week, though, of course, he has a lot of responsibilities. We're starting to put together our schedule for Super Bowl week. It's always piecemeal, and it's even stranger this year than it normally is. It's normally a pretty crazy process, but stranger this year because so many people, in fact, pretty much everyone that we're connecting with, is not in Tampa or is trying to figure out the virtual process the same as we are. So I'll be taping interviews from home. You know how much I love to work with the pets in my living room. I'll have the equipment at home with me, and we're going to connect with as many movers and shakers and personalities and names from the football world as we possibly can. And we're going to try to keep it somewhat like the Super Bowl weeks that we've done in the past, but there won't be any photos on site or crazy videos of me with the Old Spice horse and all that jazz. But we'll try to make it so that it's still worth turning into listening to some of the athletes and the names that you don't normally get a chance to hear on this show, just simply because of our hours and because we kind of do different approaches. But we love Super Bowl week because we do have access to Hall of Famers and to current and former players that we wouldn't otherwise. So we're going to do our absolute best, and we hope that you'll hang out with us as we count down to Super Bowl 55. I will certainly miss being on site with all the hubbub and the excitement, the buzz that you get on the ground in the Super Bowl city, but honestly, Tampa's not going to have that. And I certainly understand the decision not to have a radio row and our company to have us work from our respective homes this year. Of course, we'll be in studio at night, though. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Rocket Mortgage is giving away $2.5 million prizes during Super Bowl 55 that could be used to buy your dream home. So see rules and enter for free today at rocketmortgagesquares.com. Now, as we were just talking about, Sunday, February 7th is the date that you circle on your calendar. You don't even need to. There's nothing else going on. You just know it's Super Bowl Sunday. You're drawn to it like a magnet. And it's a CBS Super Bowl. So join CBS for the biggest event of 2021. The AFC champion, Kansas City Chiefs, the defending Super Bowl champion, Kansas City Chiefs, take on the upstart Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Tom Brady. In case you hadn't heard, in Super Bowl 55, coverage begins at 2 p.m. Eastern. That's 11 a.m. Pacific with Super Bowl today. It's leading up to kickoff at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. February 7th, Super Bowl 55 is on CBS. It is always the most watched television show of the entire year, regardless of genre, regardless of channel, and certainly this year with the storyline. I don't even know if I need to talk about the actual keys to the game, because the only thing people hear, this is what people hear right now. Want, 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 want. Tom Brady. Want, 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 want. Patrick Mahomes. Want, 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 want. Goat. Want, 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 want. Baby goat. Want, 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 want. Want, want. Oh, Bill Belichick. He sucks. Want, 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 want. Tom Brady. Oh my gosh. Do you guys know there are actually other players that will be on the field in Tampa? Or it does not matter? It just, it's in your mind going to settle the score between Brady and Belichick. And then somehow it's going to determine everything you ever wanted to know about the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Oh, my gosh. I mean, whatever. Whatever floats your boat. If that's what makes you tune in, great. Something tells me these ratings for this particular Super Bowl are going to be astronomical if all anybody thinks about is Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. It's going to be 2 weeks of me rolling my eyes, though. And fighting upstream like a salmon, trying to talk about other players that are actually involved in this game that could make a difference. All right, speaking of Tom Brady, why not? Let's just go with the flow, shall we? Let's just be corporate shills. I thought it was really interesting what Bruce Arians had to say about Tom Brady, but this credit that Tom Brady was given on the post-game podium following the NFC Championship, right? So put yourself back in that place. It's at Lambeau Field. It's Tom Brady who runs up toward the stands to be able to hug his son and giant smile on his face. And we're processing the fact that he's now in his 10th Super Bowl. And Bruce Arians takes the trophy for the NFC Championship. And as he's getting interviewed by Tom Rinaldi on Fox, Rinaldi asked him about the impact of Brady, right? About what it meant to have Brady choose the Buccaneers when he decided he was going to leave the Patriots.
You wanted number 12 to come down and become a part of this mission and this group, Bruce. How do you describe what he has meant to make this moment a reality?
This trophy, the belief he gave everybody on this organization that this could be done. It only took one man.
Tom Brady changed everything. According to Bruce Arians, it only took one man. And he's not talking about winning the game. That's obvious. Coach is not that myopic, and the game is a lot more complicated than that. He's talking about the belief that they could win. He's talking about having the linchpin, the piece, the cornerstone, if you will. And I know it's brief, so we're not talking about rebuilding the entire Bucs franchise, but what we are talking about is bringing the guy in who shows everybody else the Bucs are serious about this and that this is going to set them on a new course. And so in light of Bruce's comments on Fox with Tom Rinaldi, I'm asking you, what other athletes or sports figures change the course of their franchises, for better or for worse? Many of you have said LeBron James. Well, it kind of ironic, too, that he was in Cleveland last night scoring 46 points for his other new team. Yeah, he changed the course of the franchise when he was drafted out of high school, number one overall to the Cavs, essentially his hometown franchise, being from nearby Akron. The chosen one, the great one. He was deemed that from the time he was in high school. And he got them to an NBA Finals with almost no help. They didn't win it. But he put the Cavaliers on the map. He made them worth watching. And then he left. And he went to win rings with someone else. So twice in the span of the first, 8 years of his career? I don't remember how long he was in Cleveland initially. He changes the course of that franchise. Then he changes it again when he goes back and they finally win that elusive ring, going to 4 straight NBA championships against the Golden State Warriors. And they rewrite the history books, the only team ever to come back from a 1-3 deficit in the finals. Then he leaves again. And what does he leave in his wake? Oh, I forgot about him changing the course of David Blatt's career too, but that's kind of a side note. They put together everything that he wanted in a franchise, and they won the title. And I don't think the Cavaliers would trade it, but then he leaves again, and now they're left with what? Multiple coaching changes, older guys that want out, a group of young guys, some higher draft picks, mostly just irrelevance. And that's not, it's not a black hole that you never recover from. It's just reality. How often have people talked about the Cavaliers since LeBron left? Other than their coaching hires and their changes. Not a whole lot. They're climbing again. So yeah, I think you could legitimately say that LeBron changed the course of the Cavaliers not one, not two, not three, but 4 times. 4 times. So he's an extreme example. My recent example, and I know we haven't seen the full picture yet, But Patrick Mahomes is a perfect example of this phenomenon in sports. He gets drafted by the Chiefs. They have him sit for the better part of his rookie year while he's developing that relationship with Andy Reid, and they're learning him and he's learning them. And since then, fire. Three straight AFC championship games at home, which has never happened before. Two Super Bowl appearances, one ring to date. A Super Bowl MVP, the NFL MVP. He has changed the course of the Chiefs franchise. And while we don't know the full and complete picture, as long as he stays healthy, he's going to change the course of the NFL. It's a copycat league. And what the Chiefs are doing is causing other franchises and coaches to rethink their strategies and their plans. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Wayne Gretzky, a popular answer, his trade from Edmonton to Los Angeles. The great one, obviously, had won Stanley Cups with the Oilers, but then married Janet Jones, and they needed to be in L.A. And so it changed not just those two franchises, but changed the course of the NHL as a whole. The other example from hockey I'm getting a lot is Mario Lemieux with the Pittsburgh Penguins. I love that answer. Also, Steve Yzerman with the Detroit Red Wings, I think is what one fan called them before Yzerman came along. We've gotten John Elway in Denver, not just for the two Super Bowls they won, but also he's the guy that lured Peyton Manning to town when they went to two more Super Bowls as Elway was the GM. So there are a lot of really great examples. Michael Jordan to the Chicago Bulls, to be sure. Drew Brees to the New Orleans Saints. I mean, they were called the Aints before Drew Brees chose them. So what other sports figures or athletes can you say change the course of an entire franchise? I've seen this answer a couple of times. First time I'm mentioning it, though, Oscar on Twitter. Dirk Nowitzki, hands down, without a doubt. That's a great answer. The Dallas Mavericks. I mean, he's synonymous with that franchise, and they won a ring over the course of his heyday. And now they've got Luka, and that torch is being passed. So on Twitter, on Facebook, blowing it up, peeps, 855-212-4227. Let's go back to our phones here. Scott is in Tacoma. Welcome to After Hours. Scott.
Hey, Amy. Great to hear. I love your sense. Wah, wah, wah. I love your sense of humor. Keep it up. So I'm a Packer fan, but I'm not as depressing as that guy a half hour ago.
Oh, I felt so bad. I had to cut him off before he talked about his dog dying because I wasn't going to be able to survive that.
Please, thank you. I mean, I feel his pain, but it was like, dude, really? You know? Okay, so before I answer, I have four names to answer your question. But I have a question for you before I do that.
No, you first. I asked the question first.
But, okay, no, I want to ask... Nationwide, there's not a lot of hate for the Packers, is there, right? Like, we all love to hate the Yankees. A lot of us love to hate the Cubs, but there's not a lot of hate for the Packers.
It's really hard to hate them after they just got popped in the mouth at home like they did on Sunday. I don't think it's a hate thing. I think the Packers are considered an iconic franchise, but they haven't won anything since, 2010, right, was the last time they won a Super Bowl. So I think more now people kind of think that they're not capitalizing on the career of Aaron Rodgers. And I do believe that people are in awe of him and love to watch him play. There may be a little Rodgers fatigue, but that's pretty common among quarterbacks that get a lot of attention. So I wouldn't say they're a hated franchise. No, I think a lot of people admire the Packers. Plus, right now, everybody's feeling great. Sorry for them.
Thank you. So two of my answers are Packers.
Okay.
Somebody stole my thunder earlier. Reggie White, people don't understand. In the 70s and 80s, the Packers were terrible. That's when I grew up. And when Reggie White signed with Green Bay, nobody wanted to go to Green Bay. And all of a sudden people were like, wow, Reggie White wants to play for the Packers.
I mean, Brett Favre wanted to play in Green Bay. He wanted to play anywhere but Atlanta.
Yes. And then they got Holmgren and Favre. But it was Reggie White who started it, who put Green Bay back on the map.
I like it. I mean, for him to leave the Eagles, I remember the impact of that story. I wasn't working in the business at the time I was a kid, but I remember that being such a massive lightning bolt in the sports world.
And the other name, the other Packer, okay, I got three more quick ones for you. Thank you for listening. Vince Lombardi. The Packers were terrible in the 50s.
Terrible.
Vince Lombardi put Green Bay back and just amazing. I'm reading a really good book about Lombardi right now.
The trophy is named after him, enough said.
Yes. And my two other quick ones, Ken Griffey in Seattle. And Kirk Gibson, for 1 year only, but Kirk Gibson in the 1988 Dodgers.
Well, that is true. I mean, he was such an inspiration, not to mention the home run. Yeah, so it's a smaller impact. But you know what? That's what Brady is going to be in Tampa. I guess there is a chance he could play until he's 50, but I don't think that's what the Buccaneers want. I don't think that's the intent. His wife might kill him. This is going to be a relatively short-term impact, but it could have ripple effects for years to come if they win a Super Bowl. If they have another year of success after this one, it will remain a free agent destination. It will attract other guys who now believe that Tampa can put together a winning team.
Right, right. So great question. And
thank you.
And just to emphasize Gibson, I've heard stories of him in spring training. You know, I mean, the Dodgers, an iconic franchise. They won in 81. But in 88, I guess he was in spring training just, you know, chewing people out. You're not running that ground ball out to first? What the hell's the matter with you, you know?
All right, I like it. I like the answer, Scott. Thanks so much for listening in Tacoma.
Keep up your good sense of humor, please, Amy.
It's how I'm surviving. It's I don't even know what else I would do. 855-212-4227. We'll continue to get to some of your answers, and a lot of you are finding us on Twitter or on Facebook. Frank says, Joe Namath changed the Jets, gave respect to the AFL, and inspired the merger into the NFL. Casey, for recent times, Buster Posey changed the course of San Francisco Giants history. Let's see. Adam, I'm going way back with this one. Babe Ruth trade to the Yankees had lasting effects on both the Yankees and Red Sox for years to come. Yeah, we talked about that one. John says for free agency impact, Deion Sanders going to the 49ers. They won the Super Bowl. Then he switches to the Cowboys and they won the Super Bowl. I like that one too. That one's awesome. Here's a hockey answer. Danny on Facebook, Jordan Binnington takes over as goalie midseason, probably fourth on the depth chart, playing in the AHL. When he took over for the Blues, then the interim head coach, Craig Berube, took over for the fired coach after 20 games, got the players to buy in for the St. Louis Blues' first Stanley Cup in 19. Yes, I mean, that's not quite the long-lasting impact that I'm thinking about, but it definitely did change in the interim. I'm thinking more like big picture perspective, where you can see that one guy truly did cause a franchise to do a 180 or maybe a 90-degree turn. So think greater impact than just one championship, though for long suffering fans, a championship, is certainly something to hang on to. 855-212-4227. Coming up, some interesting comments from Bruce Arians, who was a guest on the Zach Gelb show here Monday evening on CBS Sports Radio. He was asked about his fourth down play call at the end of the first half, and then asked about the Matt LaFleur call for the field goal at the end of the game. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Good Tuesday morning to you.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. Hungry for a taste of the most delicious audio of the night? You came to the right place. It's time for Bite Me with Amy Lawrence. Here's Amy Lawrence.
Really cool to hear Tampa Bay Buccaneers head coach Bruce Arians on the Zach Gelb show here on CBS Sports Radio on Monday evening. Coach is a great interview. We've had him on this show before, back when he was retired and working as a broadcaster and had written the book called The Quarterback Whisperer. And I just remember how much I learned by talking to him. But now, of course, he's on his way to a Super Bowl as a head coach for the first time. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So let's jump to the end of the first half, because this is fascinating to me. The difference in the way that Matt LaFleur and Bruce Arians approach these end of half situations. So you remember, the Aaron Rodgers interception gave the Buccaneers the ball back, but not much time left on the clock at the end of the first half. They're relatively close. I would say that they were inside the red zone, not right on the goal line, but inside the red zone, facing a fourth and three. And Zach asked Bruce Arians about his approach on that fourth down play.
Our punter, Bradley Pinion, can hit 60-yard field goals. It was like, do I want to give him the ball? You know, right there, And it's no. I said, finally called the timeout, thought about it a little bit more, and just say, let's go for it. We got to get points out of this drive. It was a great interception, and we need to get points out of it.
Forgive me, I was thinking about a different possession. Yes, that 4th-and-3 was way out because the very next play was the Scotty Miller touchdown pass, the Hail Mary of sorts, where Brady dropped the ball in behind Kevin King, and of course he was roasted for allowing Miller to get behind him. Oh my gosh, right now I'm looking up at NFL Network and I just saw that play. So you hear Bruce Arians talk about why they're going to be aggressive. They just felt like they still had an opportunity there to kind of deliver this kill shot. And then they call this play, this Hail Mary to Scotty Miller right after that 4th-and-3.
Let's go for the throat. I mean, we had a play called, and they came out in their base defense. And I was like, it was the perfect call. Byron Leftwich did a great job. He put a great call in and a good protection. Tom made a great throw, and Scotty went and got it. Just really surprised that they weren't guarding the sidelines more.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of people that were really surprised on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, head coach Bruce Arians of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So the aggressiveness on the 4th-and-3, even though they had other options, going for their throats, he says, on that touchdown call to Scotty Miller. It just so happened that the Packers were caught unawares and Kevin King allowed Miller to get behind him. So then fast forward to the end of the second half, where there are 2:09 to go, and Matt LaFleur is facing a 4th down on the 8-yard line. Packers are trailing by 8 points, and he dials up a field goal and then gives the ball right back to the Buccaneers and Tom Brady. So Bruce Arians reacting on CBS Sports Radio.
I think Matt thought his defense would get that stop, and, they had the 2-minute warning, all 3 timeouts, and we were lucky enough to get a couple first downs and ice the game. But I don't think it was that bad of a decision.
I think Bruce Arians is being very generous, and the fact that we know Coach Arians wouldn't have done the same thing, he would have done the exact opposite, whether it be Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady. You gave the ball back to Tom Brady. What quarterback has had more success in those situations than Tom Brady on the biggest stage in sports? You gave up control. You said, here, Buccaneers, you take it. Just, no, go ahead. You take it. We're good. We'll take the 3. We feel like we got out of here with 3 points, so we're good to go. Ugh. I, no matter how much I think about it, in fact, I shouldn't think about it anymore because it's frustrating to me. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It's very kind of Arians to be so generous about that Matt LaFleur call. I think he's trying not to pile on one of his colleagues, understanding how badly Matt LaFleur probably feels even now. One more from the Zach Gelb Show. Bruce Arians talking about getting back into coaching and what this year means to him.
I didn't really think I would coach again. And then, the broadcasting thing, it was fun. But every Friday when I get around the players and go to practice, I knew I missed it. And it just had to be the right opportunity. And this is very close to my grandchildren, and my wife loved it. So, Jason Light is a dear friend and great general manager. We got unbelievable ownership. And what I thought on paper was a very talented young football team. So I was really happy when they gave the old guy a chance.
See what I mean? There are more stories to tell around the Super Bowl. There are more people involved than just Tom Brady. Wah, 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 wah. Goat! Tom Brady, wah, 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 wah. Patrick Mahomes. Can we please, please consider that there are other people whose lives could potentially be changed forever, who could realize goals and dreams? And Bruce Arians, I think he is absolutely a sentimental favorite, similar to where Andy Reid was a year ago with the Chiefs. Though no one's going to cry if Andy Reid gets his second Super Bowl ring as a head coach. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. What athletes or sports figures change the course of a franchise, or maybe two? A lot of you saying the Herschel Walker trade changed the course of two franchises. That's a great point. What of those like monumental occasions where a guy changed teams, or maybe he got drafted? It doesn't have to be a changing of a team. I'm wondering if Trevor Lawrence will have the same impact on the Jacksonville Jaguars. They certainly believe so. And maybe this tandem of Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer could be kind of the catalyst that puts the Jacksonville Jaguars back in a conversation where they're considered a force to be reckoned with, or at least are trending in that direction. So lots of great answers on Facebook. Some of them I do not understand even remotely. Kurt Warner with the Rams. That one comes from Michael on Facebook. Igor says, Chuck Knoll, the Steelers were perennial basement dwellers until he arrived. Glenn on Facebook, David Ortiz to the Boston Red Sox. That one is absolutely accurate, and is someone who covered that Red Sox team in 04 and for a couple of years after. I mean, his impact, Big Poppy's impact, he's one of the most iconic athletes in Boston sports history now. Let's see. Debbie says Don Shula, still the only undefeated coach in history. Kind of. Some of your answers are cracking me up because they're not quite what I'm looking for, but I like your creative interpretations. One more, Bob Kraft with the New England Patriots, obviously as the owner, putting all the effort into getting the right coach and supporting his coach in his quest to change the direction of the Patriots. I will still always go back to the one Patriots game I went to as a kid where the stadium was completely empty. It was so cold. So I remember I was there with my stepdad and my brother. I think my mom was there too. And we had an entire section to ourselves. It was frigid and nobody wanted to see the Patriots play in person. And there was this drunk guy, large man, sitting probably two sections above us in the stands. But because it was so empty, we could hear every word that he was saying. I remember he belched a bunch of times because he was drinking beer. And I don't remember who was playing quarterback at the time. That's the crazy part. I was young. I didn't really care much. I was just cold. And this guy, two sections above us, spent the entire second half yelling. Now, Patriots fans, you may be the only ones who identify with this. We want Grogan. We want Grogan. I mean, the entire second half. And because there was nobody in the stands, I will never be able to forget this big, deep frog voice. And all he did the whole second half, those same three words over and over and over again. So yeah, the Patriots went through some bleak times before Bob Kraft and Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. We want. It's so annoying. I feel bad I'm waking people up like that. I'm sorry. Again, Patriots fans, you can identify if you know Steve Grogan and where the Pats were before Bob Kraft. It's not a memory that I can ever get rid of. 855-212-4227. Your choice for Monday MVP and sports figures, athletes who change the courses of their franchises.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. His heroics made us swoon this weekend.
I'm the best ever.
I am the greatest.
Now it's time to name the After Hours Monday MVP.
I need a hero.
Mahomes, Hartman, making the ghost action. They're going to run a float pass. This time, touchdown! Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes, a 17th career postseason touchdown pass. The most in NFL history in a player's first four seasons, finding Kelce wide open, and it's human pyrotechnics dressed in red, white, and gold.
We did a good job as far as rehab and getting myself ready to go, and I feel like I was myself out there, and we were able to go out there and score points and find a way to win against a really good football team.
No doubt Patrick Mahomes felt good. By the time he got cleared and was through concussion protocol and then had a couple of days where he was largely resting that turf toe. They had a special pad in a shoe that was larger than what he would normally wear. And he looked healthy. He looked spry. He looked energetic with really no lasting repercussions from the divisional round. The calls with Mitch Holtis, and then, of course, you hear Patrick Mahomes on the Chiefs Radio Network, and our Player of the Week, your Monday MVP, brought to you by Grainger. Let's take a closer look at Mahomes' numbers. He was brilliant in this game, 29 of 38, 325 yards, 3 touchdowns, only a single sack. So his offensive line deserves a bunch of credit. And once again, Travis Kelce, really his human security blanket. 13 catches, 118 yards, a couple of touchdowns. And this game against the Bills turned in that second half, early in the second half, where there were the drives of the Chiefs put together, but also the ability to come up with a big defensive stop. So Mahomes is, he's the catalyst, he's the spark, he's the face of the franchise. He is the guy who has changed the direction of the Kansas City Chiefs. He's allowed them to build around him. He has such a unique set of skills and a unique talent that there's so much they can do with him and keep opponents off balance. And for that reason and many others, you could look at this, and I think we'll look back in history and recognize that Mahomes is definitely the answer to our question tonight. What one sports figure or athlete changed the entire course of a franchise? The Player of the Week, sponsored by Grainger. For all the ones who get it done, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, backed by 24/7 support and access to product specialists and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call, click Grainger.com/safety, or just stop by. The Patrick Mahomes equation, we're yet to see the end of it, but the way that the Chiefs have built around him and not only secured him and their future is essentially running together parallel, but they've managed to secure the futures of other guys. And it takes a special athlete to not only care about his pocketbook and a $500 million contract potentially, but to also want the franchise to have flexibility to put pieces around him. And he's been pretty consistent in saying that. So the Chiefs are in good hands with Patrick Mahomes, and he's not perfect. He'll never be. We've seen him have blow up games, and the Chiefs play down to the level of their competition some, but you know, this group of guys rises to the occasion. And so I'm excited to see them on that Super Bowl stage again. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Of course, they won this AFC championship at the expense of the Buffalo Bills. We heard from Josh Allen last hour, and he's using words like grow and learn, where that's not what we're hearing from the Packers. So a completely different attitude following the loss, and that's understandable. The expectations weren't quite as high for the Bills this year, but moving forward, they will be. And so with Josh Allen having a huge season, a career year for him, and other pieces around him, like Stephon Diggs, like John Brown, like Cole Beasley, they do need to address their run game. But man, they're becoming a free agent destination as well. And Cole Beasley was part of the exit interview process on Monday, and he kind of lays it out there for 2021.
We got a lot of the right guys in the locker room to do what we need to do. We came up short, but other than myself, for the most part, you know, it's a very young group. So
we're
building and learning with each other. You know, we took a step last season, and then we took another step this year. So, I mean, there's only one more place to go. So that's the goal.
Super Bowl is what he's referring to, in case you didn't quite catch that. He's like, everybody else is young. I'm really the only exception. that's great. Cole Beasley this season, 82 catches, 967 yards, 4 touchdowns. He went over the 1,000-yard mark if you include his playoff stats in 3 postseason games, another 14 catches, 145 yards. So a really productive season for him. But believe it or not, he was playing with a fairly serious injury.
I broke my fibula, but it's nothing that needs to be surgically repaired.
You broke your fibula? How did you manage that pain?
It's not a full break, but it's just something. I mean, it was bad the first game I played, but after that, you know, it's kind of, and you take a few meds and suck it up.
You take a few meds and suck it up. Professional athletes, they are a special breed, are they not? Take a few meds and suck it up. So Cole Beasley stunning people on Monday, and you hear the reporter react, you played a game with a broken fibula? I wasn't that bad. It wasn't a full break. Whatever. I mean, maybe it's not like Phillip Rivers playing an AFC championship with a torn ACL, but for heaven's sakes, 855-212-4227. What athletes or sports figures change the course of an entire franchise? Maybe two franchises if you're thinking about a decision where a guy was drafted here but not there. Do you think the teams that passed over Patrick Mahomes are thinking, what have we done? What have we done? Chicago. Jesse is listening in Myrtle Beach. Welcome to After Hours.
How are you doing, Amy?
I'm good.
I have two. One, I thought it was a tongue-in-cheek thing, but Mo Lewis for the Jets actually changed the Patriots franchise with his hit on Drew Bledsoe, because who knows if Tom Brady even goes to 10 Super Bowls if Bledsoe never goes down.
Okay, well, that's an interesting twist, yes.
But my main answer, Bill Walsh and Joe Montana, they turned the San Francisco 49ers completely around. They were lovable losers always on the doorstep and completely changed that franchise's history to where they became one of the most relevant and decorated in sports.
Agreed. And now, well, it's been a few years. They went to a Super Bowl, obviously, going back to the Jim Harbaugh / Colin Kaepernick days. And then, of course, have gone to one with Kyle Shanahan based on the strength of that defense. But yeah, the combination of Walsh and Montana raised the level of expectation to the point where they were able then to go with Steve Young and Jerry Rice, obviously, and even Terrell Owens in his heyday, and many other big names who ended up in the Hall of Fame. They just changed, as you point out, not only the winning mentality, but the expectations for future groups of Niners and for future franchises.
Yeah, because you think about it, you know, the San Francisco has been relevant, has not been that, you know, a lot of franchises through, you know, have gone through phases, and San Francisco has been down, but they've never been completely irrelevant.
The Jim Tom Sula era was pretty rough.
It was rough, but I mean, they were still, I mean, you know, they were respected as a franchise. They still are.
You think?
And
even with Chip Kelly?
It wasn't the best of times, but you know, it was still San Francisco. You still said it was the 49ers,
yeah,
you know.
I agree.
Whereas in the late, you know, the 70s, the 49ers were always on the doorstep, getting beat by the Cowboys and the other teams, and you know, and then that culture completely turned around, whether or not, you know, Bill Walsh was the head coach, but Montana and Walsh kind of just built that foundation to where the culture, you know, everybody's talking about rebuilding like we've done in Cleveland and Buffalo and a lot of these places, how the culture changed.
Yep, I got you. No, I agree. I mean, I feel sorry for all those people who never saw the Niners in their heyday, who never saw Joe Montana play. Sad saps.
I miss those days.
I got you, Jesse. All right, I appreciate it. Thanks so much for your phone call.
Love and prayers to your grandma. Thanks, Tucker.
Oh, thank you, Jesse. I actually, I feel like the NFL is better when the Niners are relevant and Niners are competing because of the history that comes along with that franchise. Lee in Cleveland, we'll give you a couple of minutes. Welcome to After Hours. Maybe Lee in Cleveland doesn't need a couple minutes. I mean, that sucks. I hate to end when there's no one on the phone, unless, of course, there's someone who's snoring. But producer Dave has blocked the phones now. So for those of you who are attempting, he thinks I can't see this. Like, he thinks that he's pulling the wool over my eyes. I told him, let's go ahead and take a couple more calls before the top of the hour. And he decided he didn't want to take any more calls. And so he blocked all the phone lines. So if you're trying to get
Lee was going to be on the other line.
Maybe you should have checked it before I went to Lee.
Lee, wake up, Lee.
Yeah, too late for Lee and too late for you, because I already know what you're doing behind the double pane glass. I have eyes everywhere. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Let's see, Chris on Twitter. What about Chris Bryant? One could say he changed the Cubs, or even Theo Epstein as the catalyst to the change. I would say it was Theo Epstein. He brought in the pieces, and the players obviously had to do the yeoman share of the work, the actual physical labor. But Theo Epstein, coming from the Red Sox where they had won the titles, he brought legitimacy and also brought just a completely different mentality to that front office. Let's see. Also on Twitter, I love this answer from Jonathan, Tim Duncan. Now, Tim Duncan catapulted the Spurs to the top of the NBA food chain. But he was preceded by David Robinson. So they weren't completely devoid of talent. But I do love that Tim Duncan and the way that he landed with the Spurs, because they won the lottery, not because they had the worst record that year. Celtics fans will never forget that Tim Duncan could have been a Celtic. And so Tim Duncan landing with the Spurs is a match made in heaven, of course, with Greg Popovich. He wouldn't have been comfortable or as productive anywhere else. I truly believe that. He needed Greg Popovich like Popovich needed him in San Francisco. Let's see. Ben says the Seattle Supersonics trading Scottie Pippen to the Bulls on draft day was pretty monumental. Yeah, that's the opposite of kind of the impact we're looking for, but you get it. Tom on Twitter, Mark Messier broke the curse for the Broadway blue shirts. I like that. Joe says, how about Bobby Hull signing with the WHA, signing for $1 million, starting a new pay structure for future players? Yeah, different kind of a thing, but I got you. Let's see. Do not give me Baker Mayfield. Do not give me Jarvis Landry. Do not give me Nick Chubb. Let's wait and see how these current Browns progress from here. I understand you're excited, but come on. You cannot compare Nick Chubb's impact on the Browns with Patrick Mahomes on the Chiefs. We're not at the same level yet, peeps. We're just not at the same level. Good answers on our Twitter, both our show Twitter and my personal Twitter. And lots of you, I mean, hundreds of comments on Facebook, so I'm having a hard time keeping up with all of them. But Timothy says LeBron James in Cleveland, in Miami, in Los Angeles. Yeah, he's got a unique story. Nobody else has the same story. It's just crazy because four times he changed the course of the Cleveland Cavaliers franchise, for sure. Paul on Facebook, Akeem Olajuwon changed the Rockets. I like that answer. Quentin says, even though we never truly won with them. It's an interesting way to phrase it. I'd have to say Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson for the Lions. Yeah, we'll see whether or not Megatron ends up in the Hall of Fame. But that kind of debunks the whole idea that you're not a Hall of Famer without a ring, right? Let's see. Robin says Scotty Bowman to the Red Wings. Mark, Greg Maddux to the Braves. Interesting. That's a debate for sure. I love all your answers. Have a great Tuesday. We'll talk to you tonight for the Hump Show. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.